We begin in Raleigh, where the Republican legislature officially voted to override Governor Cooper's veto of SB 20 yesterday evening. And that bill effectively bans abortions after 12 weeks in North Carolina. The vote came down strictly along party lines, with all Republicans voting to restrict the bodily autonomy of North Carolinians and all Democrats being opposed. The reaction from local leaders was immediate. We heard from Congresswoman Valerie Fouché, who released a statement last night saying, quote, "Today, North Carolina Republicans made the decision to politically interfere with a woman's right to bodily autonomy and erode our reproductive rights that generations of women before us fought for adamantly." She continued, "North Carolinians deserve better. I'm deeply disturbed and outraged by this decision and will continue to fight to protect this fundamental freedom on the federal level, codify Roe, and ensure that abortion services are safe, legal, and accessible for all." Again, that was Congresswoman Valerie Fouché in a statement she released last night. Speaking on 97.9 The Hill yesterday, Hillsborough Mayor Jen Weaver also offered her response.
I was at Governor Cooper's veto rally over the weekend, and I think that he was very correct about something, which is that there are members who have been poised to override the veto, who probably know inside that this is not the best thing. These abortion bans are not the best thing for women, and they're not the best thing for our state. I've been thinking a lot about how there's the moral aspect to this, of course, of just the right to bodily autonomy and the right to make our own decisions about when and if we choose to carry pregnancies. And then there's also just the fact that if we want North Carolina to be a thriving state, and these are our leaders who are making decisions that are supposed to make our state a thriving place, you want it to be a place where people want to move, where people want to raise their children, where businesses want to locate. And yesterday, one of the things that caught my eye was how businesses got together and had a press conference talking about how this abortion ban would be bad for business, because businesses want to locate in places where their female employees can get the full range of medical care they need. So the list of reasons why this ban is terrible is quite long. And if it goes into effect, I'm really grateful for the people on the front lines who will keep fighting to provide the care that people need.
Hillsborough Mayor Jen Weaver speaking on News on the Hill yesterday. Democrats and abortion rights advocates vow to continue the fight, including in the 2024 general election. You can find more reactions from local leaders in the news article at chapelborough.com. Back in local government now, the Chapel Hill Town Council meets tonight, and they've got a big agenda. First comes a closed session to discuss a personal matter. That will be followed by discussion of interim town manager Chris Blue's proposed town budget, which has gotten a lot of people's attention. Also a story getting a lot of people's attention, there will be an update on the Legion Road property, which the town is planning to develop into parkland and affordable housing. During last week's meeting, the town council finalized their plans for allocating their American Rescue Plan Act money, or ARPA funds, as they're often called. Here's 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell with details.
Out of the nearly $10.7 million federal dollars the town government received, much of that went to funding pools for major projects. Affordable housing and homelessness initiatives were allocated $2.5 million, and parks and recreation facilities got the same amount for various upgrades. Downtown revitalization received $1 million, as did bike, pedestrian, and greenway systems infrastructure needs. But the town of Chapel Hill also reserved $500,000 of that initial pool for community-based projects, which it allowed community members to vote on. Special Projects Manager Sarah Poulton led much of Chapel Hill's efforts in distributing American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA, funds. She said to get project ideas for the remaining $500,000, her office polled 8 departments and identified 21 options for the one-time funding. From there, Poulton set out to alert different Chapel Hill groups about the voting process to determine which projects should receive money. She said that included a variety of in-person and online efforts to directly engage people.
My intern Molly and I took the poster to the People's Academy graduation, hung one at public housing, attended some special events like at the library and public housing neighborhoods, hung door hangers, held numerous pop-up events and virtual office hours, and in all we held 52 hours of live events.
Of the 21 projects available to vote on, the top two each earned about 580 votes. They were purchasing electric leaf blowers and mowers for town crews and upgrading some town sidewalks to be ADA compliant. Additionally, the public voted to fund an extension of the Tanyard Branch Trail to nearby housing communities and the purchase of an ADA van for summer camps or field trips. Paulson shared with council members the types of Chapel Hill community members who these projects will help most.
First are those affected by the noise and environmental pollution of the current gas-powered leaf mowers and blowers, the greenway users in the Northside area, and a further contribution to our Everywhere to Everywhere greenways, parks and recreation program users that need wheelchair access to programs, and sidewalk users all over town.
The special projects manager said a wide variety of people participated in this voting process, including several groups of young children in Chapel Hill.
A big learning opportunity is that young people love to vote, and they will shame you into voting, too, in a heartbeat. And the same goes for university students. They really enjoyed interacting with something tangible that was actually going to occur.
All ARPA funding must be used on projects before the end of 2024, meaning all four projects and other town initiatives using the federal money will begin work before long. Council members had few comments on the selected projects during that May 10th meeting, but Mayor Pam Heminger shared congratulations to Paulson's team.
Thank you for the good hard work. Motion is unanimous.
You can find more details about all of Chapel Hill's ARPA funding projects by heading to chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. One more piece of news now. Today's someone's birthday. Head coach Hubert Davis of UNC men's basketball is turning 53 today. Happy birthday to Coach Davis. Time now to talk sports, and we will start our sports conversation today by talking baseball. Tar Heels did fall last night to Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina is pretty darn good, though. They're ranked 8th in the country. Carolina a little bit shorthanded as some players were serving some suspensions from a minor dust-up that happened during the Gardner-Webb game last week. The five-game winning streak that the Tar Heels brought into the game did come to an end. That's unfortunate, but they do still have that five-game winning streak against ACC opponents, and as luck would have it, final three games of the year are against a very high-quality ACC opponent. Clemson is ranked 7th in the nation, and the Heels will be on the road at Clemson, trying to close out the season in style and keep that momentum going into the postseason. Here's head coach Scott Forbes.
For me, this time of year, you're hoping that you are starting to play complete baseball and your roles are pretty defined, as you know, once you get to the regionals, that's your goal. Yeah, we want to win the AC tournament. We want to beat Coastal. We want to beat Clemson, of course. But you're also hoping, you know, if you get into the NCAA tournament, that's when the postseason starts, in my mind. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, ACC tournament's postseason, but the postseason is the tournament that gives you a chance to win the national championship. And I guess if you have to win the ACC tournament to get in, that's a factor. But that's just your hope, you know, that we can continue to get better and improve and be playing well, you know, when that Selection Monday comes. Hopefully we'll be in that mix.
That's UNC baseball head coach Scott Forbes speaking there. Tomorrow's game is at Clemson. First pitch at 6 o'clock. And, of course, we'll have it for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, your flagship station for UNC sports. Also tomorrow, we got the women's lacrosse team with some NCAA tournament action. They'll be hosting 5-seed Denver. That'll get started at 5 o'clock, and the winner gets a trip to the Final Four. Speaking of starting at 5 o'clock, just about 20 minutes ago, we got started on UNC women's tennis as they are facing 8-seed Texas. And that match is down in Orlando. They just got underway. No results to report yet, but I am frantically refreshing that results page. I'll let you know if anything pops up. Also, men's golf completed their competition down in South Carolina for NCAA regional play, and they shot very well. They were like 40-some under par, good enough for third. It took top five to get to the NCAA championships, so congratulations to men's golf. They'll be in those championships later this month. We'll get you details for that as we get closer to that tournament. Looking to the pro ranks now, First, we've got the Durham Bulls. They won last night. They beat Nashville in the opening game of this six-game set, 7-2 victory. Tonight, they'll do it again. First pitch at 6:35. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in Raleigh, the Eastern Conference Finals of the Stanley Cup playoffs will commence. Game 1, Canes versus Panthers, PNC Arena, 8 p.m. Game 2 will be on Saturday, also at 8 p.m.